Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Easy to find. Psalm 27 comes right after Psalm 26. Two verses of scripture in Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, the last two verses. Notice what he says. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Dear Father, we're grateful again to have the great privilege of being in your presence and among your people. We pray tonight, Holy One, that you would manifest yourself through the reading and the preaching and being just the unction from the pages of your book as we read those words. I pray that as this is a living book, that it touches our very soul and feeds that inner man, gives us words to live by and words to die by. Forgive my sin tonight. Give preaching grace. Give clarity of mind, soul, and spirit. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. One of the great things that we talk about again and again, having known the Lord as Savior, having recognized Him not only as Savior but friend, according to John chapter 15, and recognizing that He is coming back again, John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I doubtless will come again and receive you unto myself. For every child of God, for everyone that's born again, I didn't say everyone that's religious or everyone that attends some kind of denominational church, but everyone that's truly born again is a child of God. And I think being that child of God, we have an inner desire to see our Heavenly Father. Desiring to see our Heavenly Father, sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes that anxiousness is never more evident than when we are sick, when we are ill, when we are hurt or harmed or in harm's way. We desire to see Him even more then. The psalmist writes in the 27th Psalm, being David himself, who wrote most of the Psalms, and David being a man of God, notice what he says and how he encourages us by the words that he writes. He said, I had fainted, which means I might have given up. I might have quit. I might have turned back. I might have faltered. I might have fallen down. I had fainted unless I believed. Believing or faith is a very powerful substance in the heart, the soul, the spirit of a child of God. Having faith gives food to the soul. Having faith gives substance to what we read and what we hear. I had fainted unless I had believed. To believe means to stand firm, to trust, to have a dependence upon. I had fainted unless I had believed. For those who are without faith, for those who are without a relationship to God Almighty through Jesus Christ, it must be a horrible life. It must be a horrible world to look forward from one physical high to another and to have so many down days in between. It must be a horrible existence hoping for and wishing that there would be something that could drag me out of the very depths of the pit that I'm in at the present time. But for the child of God, there's always hope. For the child of God, every day is a great day. For the child of God who has faith like David, I had fainted. I had given up. He's not saying he is or he would have. He's saying, without belief, without faith in my God, I would have faltered. I would have stumbled. I would have given up. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want you to notice that word goodness. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord, not the goodness of my job, not the goodness of my boss, not the goodness of my peers, not the goodness of my friends, but the goodness of the Lord. And the word goodness means literally good. It means good things. It means good stuff, a fairness, a beauty, a prosperity. Now, I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel that the fakes and the false prophets preach again and again just to get people's money. But I am talking about a spiritual prosperity that the world knows nothing about. The world is after the greenback dollar, when you and I are far richer than gold and silver with our faith and our trust and our belief in Almighty God. David says, I might have fainted unless I believed. I just gave this counsel without this verse. This verse came today. I've known about it and written things here about it in the past, but I failed to make this part of my counsel as I talked with an individual recently, and I said, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Keep on keeping on. God has a plan for your life, and though you may not see it and you may not be fully aware of it right now, God is preparing your life for something else. Keep on keeping on. Keep on believing. That's what David is doing. He's saying to those of us who are on the verge, who are on the edge, who maybe for the moment cannot see a brighter day ahead. He says, I'm like you are. I would have fainted had I not realized that God had something better on tomorrow. Notice, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness, the good stuff of the Lord in the land of the living. The word living here means alive, active, lively. In other words, in my lifetime, right now. David says, not in the here and, you know, in the sweet by and by, not when I die and come into your presence. I know everything's going to be well when I get in the presence of the Lord. But David said, according to God's goodness, according to God's plan, according to God's mercy, unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, in the here and now, I might have fainted. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and the greatness of Almighty God. In verse 14, he said, wait on the Lord. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't falter. Don't stop. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. You know, it takes courage to wait on the Lord. When everyone around you is encouraging you to make a decision, hurry, make a choice. Look, if you don't have direction, don't make a choice. You make the wrong choice. If God's not in it and pointing you in the right direction, then don't make that choice, no matter how much pressure comes from the outside. Wait upon the Lord, he says. Waiting. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. If you wait long enough, strength is coming. If you wait long enough and have enough courage, what is courage? What is courage? Well, courage, you know, if you take a deep enough breath and you swell up large enough, courage drives all the fear away. No, that's not it. Courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is doing the right thing in the face of fear. Even when you're afraid, you still do the right thing. That's courage. Doing what you know to be right, even in the moment of fear. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Your heart says to wait. Your flesh says to run. Your heart says, God has a better day coming. Your flesh says, enjoy today. This is all you're guaranteed of. You know, and your flesh wants to run, but your heart says, wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be strong, be firm, be courageous. Do the right thing. Wait. Wait. Wait on God. So much trouble. So many problems. So many difficulties are brought upon us by ourselves in not waiting for God to manifest his direction. Wait. Wait. Vance Havner said, we can trust God's heart when we cannot trace his hand. Oh, when God seems to be silent and there's no handwriting on the wall, go here, do this, wait on that, judgment is coming. There's no writing of God's hand on the wall and we do not see it. Obviously, we can still trust God's heart. We can still trust that God loves us unconditionally and is not going to do anything to harm us. He's going to do things to help us. Trusting God's heart. Oswald Chambers said, one of the greatest strains in life is the strain of waiting for God. Oh, I know that to be true. I have gotten myself into so many hot water situations and so many bad choices because, look, I have it all figured out. I'm in a hurry. Life is short. I'm in a hurry. And God isn't. Sometimes in the past when God's been dealing and been silent and there's no handwriting on the wall, it seems as though it went on forever and forever and forever. God, will you ever speak? Will you ever give direction? Will you ever give purpose? Then you need to go back in your mind and remember what the last thing was that he said to you. And that's where you need to be. Don't change, don't move until God says so. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. It takes courage to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Number one in this short message tonight, waiting on God is never in vain. Waiting on God is never in vain. This is profound. I have 2 points. Number one, waiting on God is never in vain. Psalm 27, verse number 13, David said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh, look, waiting on God is never in vain. God will always give something more and something better if we just wait on him. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, the Lord speaks to the church in Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, one of the seven churches of Asia in that particular day and time. And in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10, he commends them and he says this, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. What does that say to you? They waited on God. They waited. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Great tribulation, I think, is what he speaks about. And he says, because you have waited upon me. Great virtue in waiting upon God. It takes a strong character to wait upon God. When everyone else is telling you to eat, drink, and be merry, it takes much courage to wait upon God, not to swerve from the purpose that God has in your life. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. What is the word of God's patience? Wait. Wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting on God is not in vain. We are waiting on a God who could never disappoint his people. Someone said one time, one of the greatest needs in our waiting on God, one of the deepest secrets of its blessedness and blessing is a quiet, confident persuasion that it is not in vain. Yeah, but preacher, I'm in a hurry. Life is short. I'm young yet. I have a lot to do. But waiting on God is never in vain, never without reward. It's always, always right to wait on the Lord. Courage to believe that God will hear and help. Now, here's one of the facts of life. You cannot hear God, or He will not answer you if you're living in sin or you have unconfessed sin in your life. Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord refuses to hear those who live joyfully and pleasurably in their own sin without getting it right with Him. Waiting on God is not in vain. Number two, waiting on God has its rewards. Waiting on God has its rewards. Verse of Scripture, Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35, notice what he says. Again, Paul is the writer here. He encourages us to wait for God before we make those choices, before we make those life-changing decisions about life. Wait. Here we find that waiting on God has its rewards. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence. Somebody said, if I wait for God and wait upon God, He will direct me and it will be the right way, but I'm in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Wait. But I can't wait. Wait. But I'm being pressed to make a choice. Then don't make it. Wait. How do I know? Look what he says. Cast not away your confidence. Your confidence in God. Your confidence in God's word. Your confidence in God's promises. Your confidence in the fact that God has answered prayer before and He shall answer again. Your confidence in God. Do not cast away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Not just recompense, great recompense. My wife and I joust at home. My wife and I, you know, have that little husband-wife thing going on, and lots of times that we kid each other a lot. I can't stand cold hands up on my warm neck. It makes me shiver all over. Don't put your cold hands on me. And she laughs and does it anyway. And what I say is, you know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. And you always reap more than you sow. Recompense is good, isn't it? And so when you give me the cold hands, I may give you the ice cubes. Yeah. You always reap more than you sow. That's a fact of life. And God does that. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in Him, which hath great recompense, payback. The word recompense means a repayment, a compensation for, a payback. Your confidence in God is rewarded greatly, a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, there's that word again, that after you have done the will of God, now comes the patience, after you've done the will of God, Satan says, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Satan says, make the choice, make the choice. Oftentimes because he knows if you wait, God will clearly show you the pathway. And Satan wants you to make a decision quickly. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Not a chance, not might receive, it's a chance. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that you might, that you will receive. You will receive the promise that God has given. Why? How do I know that? Verse 37, for yet a little while and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Waiting on God has its rewards, a great recompense of reward. A great recompense. In Isaiah chapter 40, in verse number 31, he tells us to wait and to watch. Notice what he says in explanation in verse 29 and 30 of Isaiah chapter 40, talking about God, and it says, he giveth power to the faint, to the weak. God giveth power to the weak. Oh, I'm one of those. I can attest that he gives power. To the exhausted, God gives power. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, exhausted. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait shall renew strength. Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew means to reverse. I was weak, but now I'm strong. I was dying, but now I'm living. A reversal. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he talks about the fact that we're to commit our bodies a living sacrifice unto him. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. That word renewing means reversing, by be transformed. How am I transformed? How does God shine forth through me? By reversing your mindset. By reversing. By renewing your mind, by reversing your mind. You've been filled with trash. We fill our minds with fleshly pleasure and trash of the world. And the only way to reverse it is to fill it with good things that come from the Lord, to fill it with His Word, to fill it with His music, to fill it with praising Him and realizing how great He is to us. Reversing. And here he says the same thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall reverse their strength. They shall go from weakness to power. They shall go from feebleness to strength. They shall renew, reverse their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God has its rewards. In Psalm 37, in verse number 7, Psalm 37 and verse 7, we find waiting on God does have its rewards. In verse number 7, he says literally, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Resting in the Lord does not mean that we stop all activity, but it means rely upon Him, to trust Him, to do what He says He will do, to put our burdens and our anxieties upon Him, to put our worries and our concerns upon Him, because He said He cares for us, casting all our care upon Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Fret not thyself. The word fret back in verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, because it seems as though they prosper and they get so much without doing what you're commanded to do as a child of God. Fret means to glow or grow warm, to blaze up with anger or zeal, to burn, to be displeased, to be hot, incensed, very angry. To fret thyself. He says in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For evildoers shall be cut off, but they that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Waiting on God has its rewards. Notice one final. In James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and verse 7 and 8, James writes and he says, be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren. He's speaking to me and you who've been born again, who claim to be the children of God. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. How long am I to wait on the Lord? How long am I to be patient? Until he comes. Until he comes. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. Who's the husbandman? God is the husbandman. God is the husbandman. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, the precious fruit, the souls of men. He's gathering all he can through you and me. The husbandman waiteth for the harvest of the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts, child of God. It means to make your heart stable, to make it steadfast, to strengthen it, to render your heart constant. You're not moved by every wind of doctrine, as it's said in Ephesians chapter 4. You're not moved by everything under the sun. I detest, if I can use that word. I have a stronger word, but that's the one that I chose. I detest dealing with emotional people because they make choices and decisions based upon their feelings rather than upon truth and value. If they feel good today, they might make a good choice. If they feel bad, they may make an evil choice. I don't like dealing with people who are moved by emotions because emotions can change in the drop of a hat. Emotions can change just like that. And we're not to make life-changing choices and decisions based upon how we feel. Love, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, revenge. All kinds of feelings. I don't even like to go to a vet. I had to take dogs in this week and get shots and so on. And I don't mind telling you, I don't like dealing with people who are emotional about anything and everything. And I won't be going back unless some things change. That's all I'm going to say. People look at dogs like little fluff, like they're people, you know. And their heartthrobs go out. Waiting on God has its rewards. But here's the waiting that we have upon Jesus Christ. If James says, hey, wait upon the Lord. He's coming again. But he is a husbandman and he's waiting upon the harvest of the fruit, the first and the last. And he's trying to get as much as possible, but he will come at the right moment. He will be here. You can count on it. Waiting. Chambers says the greatest strain in life is the strain of waiting on God. Havner said, we can trust God's heart when we cannot trace his hand, but continue to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall reverse their strength. They shall renew their strength. They will exchange it from weakness to power by waiting upon the Lord. We are never wasting time when we wait upon the Lord. Never. Be of good cheer. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight. God bless you.